Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. One of my favorite passages of scripture to share the word of God from is Mark 11. In fact, I've said it many times that if I didn't have the rest of the Bible and I had Mark 11, that's the only chapter of the Bible that I had, that'll be fine. Because embedded in it is God's divine plan and purpose. Mark 11. Mark 11 is the message, the writings about what we are celebrating today in Christendom called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. That's what Mark 11 is about. It tells us the story of what happened. And I'd like for you to come with me there. The Bible says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage. Bethphage meaning simply the house of unripe figs. The house of unripe figs. The house of unripe figs. And Bethany. And Bethany is an interesting name because it means the house of dates and also the house of misery. It's interesting that our world is full of misery right now. There's a lot of pain going on, a lot of confusion going on. He had come to this place. He was near to Jerusalem, the city of peace. He's come to Bethphage. Bethphage, the house of unripe figs. This is the place where you understand that you are not ready. You're close, but you're not ripe enough to be plucked. You're not ripe enough to be used. You're not ripe enough to fulfill your destiny. And that's where our world is. Close, but not close enough. On to Bethany. I like that it has two meanings here, the house of dates. Because when I think about dates, I don't only think about the sweetness of dates. But I think about that word, date. A date is a day. It brings to my mind the fact that there is a time. But it also says that it's a house of misery. So there's sweetness and there's sadness. It's a mix. Which part of it are you going to take? The sweetness of dates or the sadness of misery? He says, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two disciples. The Mount of Olives represents the place where Jesus went through his experience. And there was Gethsemane, a place of pain, the place of squeezing, and that's what we're going through in our world today. We've been squeezed. We've been squeezed every which way. But the place called Olive, the Mount of Olives, is where Jesus is going to return back to. There's a fault line on Mount Olives. So when Jesus comes, that mountain splits. But when it splits in the other direction. So it actually forms a cross when Jesus returns. It is from there he sends two of his disciples. And he says there, the word of God says, he says unto them, go your way unto the village over against you. That village over against you. I like the words there, against, because the word against means it's opposite, it's contrary. But here is Jesus. He says, go over to that village over there that's against you. He says, and as soon as you enter, be entered into it. As soon as you enter into that village that is contrary, that village that is opposite, that village that is shut out to you, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. I think about that today. A colt whereon never man sat. I might digress for a moment, but I'm not really digressing. I think about where we are right now. Society talks about essential services. Well, this cult was not counted as an essential service because the Bible says where never man sat. Nobody counted it. Nobody thought that it was important enough, but not God. Today, we have essential services. Doctors, nurses, essential services. Firemen, police officers, essential. The person busy cooking in the restaurant, essential services. But somehow, the one place and the one thing that should be essential services is sidelined. The church. The one essential service that should speak to the hearts of men, not only about the temporal things of this natural world, but about the eternal things of life. I think it is the plot of the devil to make the Church of Jesus Christ a non-essential service. Why? So that when all of this is all settled, people will have in their mind, ingrained in their thinking, that's a non-essential service. Devil, you're a liar. The church is not just essential in peace times. When there's no trouble, the church is mostly essential when there's trouble everywhere. Because we carry the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior who came to redeem mankind. We have the message of peace, the message of healing, the message of deliverance. We are the essential service of the world. Don't call me not essential. I am more than essential. For dwelling in this body is the living God. Dwelling in the church is the living God. We are the ones who have the promise of God that this plague, any plague, shall not come nigh our dwelling. 1,000 shall fall on the left and 10,000 on the right, but it shall not come nigh me. I happen to believe that word. I believe that word because it's a word that comes from God. And this God holds his word above all his names. Essential? Yes. Essential because no plague has the right or the authority or the power to live in my presence. There are doctors who do not have this covering or this promise, who are endangering their lives. And the ones that have the authority and the power have been told, we don't need you. No, we are part of the answer that God has for the world. The anointed ones, clothed with the glory of God. A true believer is not a believer because of rituals that he does. We're not ritualistic people. We are people that have a relationship with the Most High God. I want to speak and say to our government, rethink. Your ideas concerning the church of the living God. You're losing out on the powerhouse that will bring an answer and bring about a change to what is happening in our world. Yes, it's science, but there's something greater than science. The God who created science. And he has a people in the world. They are called the light. And the light shines and darkness cannot comprehend it. They are called the salt. And the salt brings seasoning. And the salt preserves. May I speak to our governors, to our prime minister, to our president, to our mayors. Make use of your secret weapon. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the essential service that you need. That's the essential service that needs to stand before all the so-called essential services. The frontliners. Let your frontliner be those who are praising God. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, that Israel was surrounded by enemies. And the king looked and he found out that the real essential service that's going to bring down the enemy was not his army, but was the worshipers. And they went before the people of Israel and they began to worship God and they began to say, blessed be the name of the living God, for his mercy endureth forever. And all of a sudden the enemy began to fight against themselves and they wiped themselves out. And Israel did not need to use its so-called essential service. It was the essential services of God. The worshipers. This, the Bible says, God inhabits the praises of his people. God, involve God in the issue, and you will have an answer, a quick result, a change that is supernatural. And God has a people who know Him, who are connected to Him. And He's saying, that church is the answer. Now, why has the church been sidelined? Well, because there is the true church and there's the fake church. The true church may be a minority, but it's still a minority that's a majority. For the Bible says, one with God is a majority. But there's the fake. The fake is that which doesn't really care about what the spiritual well-being of the people are. The fake is that group that are acting like, excuse me for using this word, acting like politicians, looking for votes, and therefore will not tell you the absolute truth about what the real deal is, because they will lose their tithe and their offerings and their whatever, and so they will not tell the people the truth so that the people are empowered to have a relationship with God. That's the fake. And that fake will never speak out boldly and stand for anything. And therefore the world looks at them and says, there's no true north in you. We cannot rely on this nonsense. Not essential. But there are a people, a remnant, that know their God, believe in their God, stand for the purposes of God, and could care less about what man thinks. They represent the kingdom of God. They are not of this world, even though they are in this world, new creations, and therefore seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those people are not COVID-19 penetrable. They are not and cannot be killed by the natural things. For they have the resurrection and the life living inside of them. I'm declaring this day in the name of Jesus Christ that church of the Lord Jesus Christ begin to rise up by the authority of the Word of God. I want you by the authority of the Word of God to hit your streets, drive through your city, and begin to declare in the name of Jesus Christ, COVID-19, you have no authority here. The power of God is within us. And I stand here today with Pastor Maria, with all the men and women of God, and I'm saying, this cult that has not been used, this cult that has never been sat on, we declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, be loose, be loose, be loose, be released, and come into your destiny. You are the body that will carry the living God into His Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a new day, and the devil is not in charge. God is in control. The living God reigns supreme, and every power must bow to that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. Non-essential? Oh no. It is our season. It is our time to shine. In a time when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness this planet, God says, arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Church of the living God, rise by the authority of the Most High God and shine. The world is full of darkness. This is a time, your best hour, your best moment to shine gloriously. Not behind some closed door, in the streets, everywhere you go, shine as the glorious light of the Most High God. Bring light to your neighborhood. Bring life to your neighborhood. Be the peace of God present in the time of trouble. Let men see you and see that the grace of God is upon your life and that you've been enabled by the grace of God to live victoriously, that you are a testament of the goodness of God in the land of the living. They may fall on the left and on the right, but the glory of God is upon you. It is time to shine brightly. Hallelujah. You shall find a cold tide whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Can you imagine the state of that ass? Looks, and it saw other donkeys and mules and horses and chickens and ducks and whatever else moving in the streets freely. He saw others carrying the burdens. He says, that one looks like me. And it's free, it's walking around. And it tried to do the same thing. And as soon as it moved, choked. Why? It's tied. It's tied. It wants to be used, but nobody comes and cares for it. Matthew says there were two animals tied together. Just maybe the one other animal, the other donkey that was tied together with it, was loosed and taken out. And there it was, left alone. When is it going to be my turn? He sees somebody approaching and oh, maybe it's my turn this time. But no, they go and they lose the other one. It can be so easy to feel discouraged. Maybe you are listening to me right now and you've been in that state where you're looking for opportunities to serve. You're looking for opportunities to be used of God. And everybody else has been used. There you are. Non-essential. May I say to you today, your story is not just about to change. It has changed. I prophesy over your life that God is going to use you. It was counted as nothing, counted as non-essential, counted as a nobody. God has marked you. God has marked you. And he's coming for you. He sees you way out there. He has located you. He has made an appointment for you to be used by him for a greater glory. It's your season. This is your now moment. Tied. Choking. I can see that colt. moving around and wrapping itself around that post or that tree or whatever it is it was tied to. And now the cord that it was tied with is now shortened. It had been used to go in some 6 feet or 8 feet. And he knew safely, if I just go 7 feet and not 8 feet, I will be okay. I will not choke. For who really wants to get choked? So you find a compromise point, a safe place. It learned its safe place. Don't go 8 feet, just go 7 feet, and you'll not choke. You'll not be in that position. But now he'd gone around the tree, and now he tries to go 7 feet and found out that at 4.5 feet, a new normal. A new normal. 9/11, it was a new normal. Now the devil wants to create another new normal. The devil's a liar. Because we are not going to buy into a new normal that limits us to the defeatist ways of the devil and his cohorts. Because freedom has been predetermined by the living God for my life and for your life in Jesus' mighty name. There he was. But he did not know that on this particular day, his freedom was coming to him. The difference this time is that there wasn't just one man coming to free one colt. There were two. And hope began to rise within that cold. Normally, only one person comes, and they used to take her. But there's two of them this time. Might it be that this is my day? Yes. Yes. This is your day. This is the fifth day of April 2020. And I declare in the name of Jesus, 2020. That you are about to experience something supernatural from the living God. Here comes these two men, and they come and they free that first one, and now it too. Colt, whereon never man sat, is also been freed. Wow. Wow. Well, I thank God that he doesn't just free one. You know, when God frees you, he frees you with somebody else. God is a God who works with twos. See, when one is struggling, the other one helps the other one up. God has a partner for you. God has somebody that he has linked up and set in place to link up with you, and the two shall become one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a plan, and his plan will be fulfilled. Two. You know, the reason I think I believe God releases two. It's because, you know, the other one had been around the block. Knows where the bulldog is. Knows where that other wild cat that just attacks anything that comes around it. And so as they're going, I'm sure one is saying to the other one, you know over there, there's a crazy guy over there. Don't go there. Ever. Don't go there. That street over there, there's a bulldog over there. Don't ever go that way because that bulldog, that's a crazy dog. It will bite you. I've seen it bite so many people. Don't go over there. God gives to us people that will speak into our lives and help us make right decisions. And some of those people that God used to help us make the right decisions are pastors. They are prophets. They are teachers. People who've gone around, older brothers, people who've seen things and share, you know what? That girl over there that's, winking at you, stay away. Because that's a problem. Don't be foolish and say, macho, macho man, I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. Please. That's why God brings people around you to help you make godly decisions. Anyhow, this animal is released. But where was it located? That's important. It says in verse 3, and if any man say unto you, why do you this? Why you loosen this animal? Say ye that the Lord had need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. Let me leave that alone for a moment. Verse 4, I'll come back to 3. And they went their way, the two disciples went their way and found a colt tied by the door. Tied by the door. Without. In a place where two ways met. And they lose him. Let's look at that just briefly. They found the colt tied by the door. A door. What's a door for? A door is a point of entrance and exit. And so here is this colt tied by the door. And you can see people go in and come out. It wants to do the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ says, he says when we are walking in love with him, he says we get to be in that state where we find pasture in him and out of him. In every situation, when you are in God, in and out, every place becomes a place of blessing. The door, it's there, but it can't tap into it. It says without, meaning outside, but I like the word without because the word without captures and instigates in my mind the word lack. When you're without something, you lack something. And so many times that's where we find ourselves. Without, outside, and without, lacking. In a place where two ways met. That's being in a place where you have opportunities and options. But you can't take any one of them. You have dreams, hopes, visions, ideas, great ideas, things you want to do, but now you can't do it even though you have the options. You know what to do. You know which way to go, but you can't. You can't explore the opportunities set before you. I'm declaring to you today in the name of Jesus Christ that you will not only be able to go through doors, you will also be with the abundance of God, and thirdly, you'll be able to fulfill the dreams, hopes, and aspirations that God has birthed within you. You will do what God has graced you to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, COVID-19 is not going to stop you from fulfilling your destiny. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. In a place where two roads, ways met, they lose them. Jesus told them, if anybody asks you why you're losing these animals, just say to them, the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. I want you to say with me, today, I must be free because God has need of me. I am essential. Hallelujah. Don't let any lying spirit tell you that you are a non-essential. You are essential. God has need of you. God wants to do great and greater things in you and with you for His glory and honor and for your benefit and the benefit of mankind everywhere. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that great ideas will be birthed in your spirit, in your dreams, that you will come forth with divine breakthroughs, understandings of things that natural minds have not tapped into, that the church of Jesus Christ will be an extraordinary force in these last days to declare the kingdom of God has come and the will of God is done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man says, non-essential. But God says, absolutely essential. I agree with God. Hallelujah. I am essential. God has need of me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has need of you? Then step into this end time destiny that God has established already before the foundations of the earth for you. You are an essential person, an essential service to God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to skip ahead just briefly and I'll come back. In this same passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us in Mark 11 that Jesus was hungry. And there was a fig tree right there in front of him. Remember, he's the one who saw a colt tied way out in a different village inside the community. He could see it. He sees a fig tree and he's hungry and he approached the tree to get a fruit from it to eat. But the Bible says that it was not the season for figs. Remarkable. It wasn't the season for figs. Says, and on the morrow, verse 12, the next day when they were come from Bethany, the house of misery, and I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, you will come out of Bethany. You will come out of the house of misery. You will come out and you will be hungry. When you are dying, there's nothing like hunger. When you're mending, you start getting hungry. Hunger is a sign that you are alive. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, far away, having leaves, He came if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. Because the time of figs was not yet. It was not the season for figs. But Jesus saw the fig tree. And he was approaching it to find something from that fig tree. Something to eat. Verse 14 says, and Jesus answered and said unto it. 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 You should stop and think about that. Jesus answered. He answered. He answered because the fig tree was saying something. The fig tree was saying, I cannot produce what you want because it's not my season. But the fact is that the Lord was hungry. And the Lord wanted something from it. The Lord had need of it. And when the Lord has need of you, it is good for you to produce what he's wanting. God wants holiness from you. It is good for you to produce the fruit of holiness. And don't start talking nonsense about, I cannot live holy because I am just human. No, 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 no. You are not just human. You are born again of the Spirit of God. You are not of this world. The anointing of God enables you to live victoriously. You can live the life of God because the God who lives inside of you is the God who will live his life through you. And all Jesus wanted was fruit. But was this fig tree going to give him what he wanted? Fig tree said, no, I can't. Why can't you? Because it's not my season. Not your season. What was God trying to do here? The one who knew about the colt way out in the other village. He knows. The one who created figs knew that it was not the season for figs. But it didn't matter whether it was the season of figs or not. Willingness of heart to respond to the need of God was going to bring about something supernatural that was going to cause that which was not natural to become natural to that fig. Supernatural living in a natural world. That fig tree was now being made capable of producing figs out of season. But it refused to do it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, forever. If you're not willing to do it for God, you don't deserve to exist. Child of God, why should God bless you if you are tight-fisted and not willing to give? Why would God want to use your life if you are just into yourself and looking into the circumstances of this world? Oh, the world is like this and the world is like that. God already told you don't to be poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. You are called to prove it. Prove that God is a good God and that what he has in store for your life is absolutely good. Fig tree said, I can't. And God said, as long as you say you can't, and you will never. I elect this day to choose. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can do everything God calls you to do. If God calls you to give, give. Don't look at your circumstance. Don't look at the world system. Don't look at the economy. Don't look at anything. Just do what God's word says. Just do that and trust God to do the extraordinary in you and with you. Because your calling to do the right thing is not always a calling to do it when it is convenient. It's not convenience. He calls you to do it when it's convenient and when it is not convenient. When you think you can and when you think you can't, God says, make the decision to do His perfect will, and He proves Himself faithful in your life. We are challenged with many challenges, but God remains faithful and steadfast in His love towards us. I go back to the colt. Verse 5 of Mark 11. He said, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you lose in this cold? Verse 6, they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. Even as Jesus had commanded. When Jesus said to them, if anybody asks you, just tell them the Lord has need of it. It didn't come out as a command. It was just a statement. But they understood that every word that came out of the mouth of the Lord was a commandment to be obeyed. Every word of God is a command to be obeyed. Every promise of God is a command to be obeyed. Therefore, this day I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you can speak to your body and say to your body, you are cancer free. It's a command to be obeyed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. His God who healeth thee of all of your diseases. He's a God who satisfied your mouth with good things. He's God who's caused your youth to be renewed like the eagles. Your body has to obey. Your body cannot be a habitation for any virus that is there to create disorder and confusion and disaster, bring about death. Anything that is contrary to the well-being of God for your life, you have the right to reject in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. That is your right. That's your heritage. God has not created anything that is created to bring destruction to you. If you're a child of the living God, you've got rights. And these rights are without repentance. They are irrevocable rights. As long as you exercise them, as long as you know what your rights are, you got to take a hold of it and cleave unto Him who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. The Lord has need of it. You know the remarkable thing about this cold? While men thought they were setting it aside and we're not going to touch it, and we're living in that world today, one pandemic and you got to be meters away from each other. You can't shake hands. You can't hug. You can't any of that. And there's a reason for it. For this cold, nobody could touch it. Nobody could ride it. But he did not know that in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, centuries before it was ever born, that there was a prophetic word about it. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. It was prophesied about. So you think you are not being used, but God was setting you apart for a very special ride. He's going to use you. You are part of this last move of God. An end time prophet, an end time preacher, an end time minister, an end time personnel for the kingdom of God in the service of the Lord. God has marked you. And at this time, God has chosen to use you. Don't balk. Don't throw him off. You see, because, you see, an ass that's never been ridden before, it's so easy for it to throw you off. Bark. You want to be used. You want to be like every other one, every other animal. Now it's your turn. Ah! It's uncomfortable. Why me? You wanted to be the one to be used of God. Now he wants to use you. Now you want to fight it? Thank God for this cold. It didn't fight it. That's a supernatural act. That you humble yourself in the sight of God so that he can exalt you. Humble yourself. Be at his service. You are the essential. You are the essential. You are the what? The essential service of the Most High God. Take your place right now. Something about this cult. It's remarkable. Something happened in the Old Testament where Abraham messed up. He was supposed to wait for the manifestation of the promise of God. God had promised him that he's going to have a child, and now he's old and he thinks it's not possible anymore. And he elected, in conjunction and agreement with the wife Sarah, to mate with the servant Hagar, and he produced a child called Ishmael. But the promise of God was for the child that Abraham and Sarah were to have. That child finally got born, and his name was Isaac. But now, instead of him being the firstborn, He's now the second. And from that particular point, second born began to receive the blessing. For Isaac received the blessing. God never changed his mind about giving him the blessing. He gave to Ishmael stuff, but to Isaac he gave the blessing. And this particular narrative continues right through the scripture. The second born began receiving the blessing. Instead of Manasseh, Ephraim received the blessing. In fact, Israel crossed his hand and put the right hand on Ephraim that's supposed to have the left hand blessing. That story continues. And the second born was receiving the blessing all the way through. But Jesus was the firstborn. And he came to make sure that the firstborn received the blessing that it was due, because the firstborn belonged to God. And this colt was going to be used as a sign for the redemption of the firstborn. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Come with me to Exodus chapter 13 as I begin to wrap up. Exodus chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. Actually, I'll start from verse 12. Word of God says that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, the firstborn, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. Firstborn belongs to the Lord. And every firstling of an ass, every firstborn of an ass, thou shalt redeem with a what? A lamb. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. So, the firstling is to be redeemed with a lamb. Jesus was that Lamb of God. And he came and he took this colt. And he rides upon it. And by so doing, was saying, the lamb that redeems the ass has come. And today, there is the work of redemption. Every firstborn of man among mankind shall be redeemed. And Jesus has come to redeem you. To redeem means to buy you back. But not only to buy you back, it means to repurpose you, to give you a destiny. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that your destiny will be fulfilled now. That the lies of the enemy be shut down. You are essential. God needs you. This lamb has come. The colt came on Palm Sunday, and the people began to throw their garments on the animal and then on the ground, and then began to cut down palms and throw them on the road. That ass rode, and people cried out, Hosanna! 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 Hosanna simply means, Lord, save! Lord, help us! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord God hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We beseech you now, send now prosperity. God is releasing his best into your life today. Are you willing to become part of the essential service of God? Church, you may have been shun, you may be pushed aside, but God says to you today, you are part of God's essential service. You are here to be light in a world that is full of darkness. You're here to be salt. You must not be hidden under the table. You must not be hidden under some bushel. You're supposed to shout it loud from the mountaintops. There is an answer. There is an answer to the world. There is an answer to the confusion that the world is facing. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. One pandemic, one virus, and our whole world is turned upside down. The whole world is handicapped, halted, in despair, in fear. Governmental systems overwhelmed. Economies in the world shut down. Gains made, wiped off. And it's just one virus called COVID-19. Our schools, our offices, shut. People are forced out on a forced vacation, but they can't go anywhere. Shut down behind their doors. One virus. I watch my television and I see streets are empty. Parks are empty. Museums empty. Libraries empty. Quest for knowledge hushed. Our places of worship closed, and it's just one virus. It's watching the television and I saw a place that is always busy, there in Mecca. There's nobody. Pilgrims that go to Jerusalem, sent back. A country that receives tourism as one of its key factors for its economy, sending back the tourists, sending back the pilgrims. Go to your country. Go, 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 go. The Olympics postponed. Sporting events shut down. Gyms where you go and go pump your iron and get fit and you want a six pack. I happen to have a barrel, that's okay. Where is all the stuff that you think is so important? You mean one virus called COVID-19 is wiped off all that you thought is important? Just like that? It just snatched it away from you? Just like that? One? What if there were multiple viruses all at the same time, all very deadly, and there's nothing you can do? You think for one moment that the answer is putting on a mask or gloves or distancing ourselves from each other? Really? It's good to do all of those things. But really, do you think that's it? If you think that's it, all I can say is wake up and smell the coffee. Because that can't do it. You can protect yourself from those things. You put the mask on and you're busy fiddling with it and contaminating your own mask. Or you think it's a scarf. Now, you don't know which side was the front, was outside, and which side was inside. You think that's it? You think it's just washing your hands and putting sanitizers in it? Think that's it? So you go to the grocery store and you're busy touching stuff that other people have touched. You think they've wiped out every item in there? And how many times did they wipe it off? And so you contact something there, but you've got your gloves on. And your phone comes on and you start dialing on the phone, or you start texting, or you start answering, and you transfer all of that into your face. And you think that's... You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying all of those things, as necessary and as helpful as they are, that's not your protection. The Word of God says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, they get the protection. Because God comes and abides with them. Father and Son come and make their abode in such a person. John chapter 14. You need to have a relationship with the living God. That's what you need to do. You may protect your natural body, but what are you doing to protect your eternal soul? Are you living in a world of living in gossip and in hate and in strife? Child of God, the Word of God says, if I send plague and pestilence, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seeking my face, he says, I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. You need God. Our world needs God. And God is manifesting himself through his church. The Bible tells us that the people went against the leadership of God, went against Moses and Aaron. They accused Aaron and Moses that they were doing whatever it is they were doing. The ground opened up and swallowed Korah and Dathan. And the next day, the Bible says, a plague hit the camp. Moses says to Aaron, Aaron, get into the camp with a censer. The censer represented the prayers. He says, go atone for these people. And as he ran into the mist, in Numbers chapter 16, because the Word of God says the glory of God showed up. And when the glory of God showed up, this plague manifested itself. But there was Aaron with the censer, and he was separating the dead from the living. He was God's essential service. I want to mobilize men and women of God. Those have been called by God, anointed by the living God, to be like Aaron. The church, to be like Aaron. If you live in a community where you can still drive, just drive into your city and begin to declare the end of this diabolical virus that is plaguing the world. We must preach this gospel to those that do not know Jesus Christ. They cannot die until they hear this gospel. Church, it's time for you to begin to shine brightly. Get out of that limitation. You say, 1,000 shall fall on your left and 10,000 on your right, then you cannot be locked behind those doors living in fear. You can become God's essential service to bring about change in the community that you live. Start with your neighborhood. Pray for your neighbors. Pray that God's power will come and that God will touch their hearts. That God will bring about a deep desire within them to repent of their sins and cry out to God and say, God, I find that everything that I've laid my hands on is vanity. God, wherever you are, reveal yourself to me. And He will. All the world needs today is Jesus. There's that old secular song. What the world needs now, love, sweet love. Yes, God is love. Let the world know. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's give our neighbors, our communities, a fighting chance. Be God's light. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I know I've been sharing for a while now. That's important. But this time I want to take this opportunity to give you the opportunity to honor God with your giving. You may not be physically in this building, but if you've heard this word and this word is resonating inside of you, then I want you to first subscribe to this station or to this website or to this YouTube channel or whatever, whichever way you're watching. Share it to as many people and encourage those that you share with to share it so that others can hear all around this globe, so that men and women everywhere, whether they be in Australia or somewhere in Asia or somewhere in Africa, that they take their rightful place and begin to possess the land and give no room to the devil. That's the one thing I want you to do first. And secondly, I want you to honor God with your giving financially. Your finances are not a suggestion from God. It's a command from God for you to give. Just like He expected that fig tree to give to Him when He had need of it, I'm encouraging you right now to honor God. As God speaks to you, give to Him. placing your faith in Him, recognizing that He's a God who can make you have an eternal season, an unbreakable season of fruitfulness and abundance. Can you imagine if that fig tree had just released the fruit that it could not, because it was trying to obey the instruction, the desire of the Lord? Can you imagine what would have happened to that fig tree? It would have been the one fig tree that would have changed the story of its species. There would have been a fig tree that produced every month. Every month there would have been a tree that produced fruit every month, every day. Wow. May you and I be that tree that continually produces, because we are givers. You say, how can I connect with you in my giving? Well, you can connect if you're online and not here physically. You can do so by doing an e-transfer to info, that's I-N-F-O, at Mike, M-I-K-E, Zino, Z-I-N-O, Ministries, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S.com. Info at Mike Zino Ministries. You can give through that medium. You can give through, if you're watching on our website, there is a donate button, and it will take you through PayPal, and you can give through PayPal. Or you can send it physically by mail, if you send in a check, and to 1296 Main Street here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, R2W3T5. All that information is online for you to see right now. I encourage you to do that, and do it right now. Don't delay, because delay generates an atmosphere of forgetfulness. Delay causes you to get busy with something else and you get distracted. I was to call somebody for their birthday, to celebrate them on their birthday 2 days ago, Mama and I, and we didn't do it right away. And 2 days later, I have not done it. I don't want that to be the case. I want you to be able to honor God with your giving. Do it immediately, and may God grace your life with His goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, while you're getting that ready, I want to share communion with you. Those of you that are here, there is communion already placed, put in place for you. And those of you that are home, I'm going to give you a moment to get something together so you can share in communion. And we'll be sharing in communion again tonight. In the evening service, that's going to be in a few hours. So get your communion ready for that particular service also. This communion represents the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon Him, and by the stripes that He bore, we are healed. May the full impact and the full benefit that God ordained when He shared and participated in the Lord's Supper, what He planned and purposed, may it be accomplished in you and in me and in us all. So take off this body right now and eat. Also take off this cup, the cup of the blood shed. shed for the remission of our sins, shed to make certain that we walk in the fullness of salvation. The Lamb of God that came to redeem the firstborn. And you are called into the family of the firstborn, so that everything, the rest, everything else in your life gets blessed. Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. He that was proclaimed Lord, he that rode into Jerusalem, the one that they said Hosanna to. In the Psalms, it says, we beseech you now, send now prosperity. Receive the prosperity of God. For this is the day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. Take off this cup, drink in Jesus' name. Praise God. We thank God for his faithfulness and his love. Rise with me, wherever you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. I thank you, Lord, O God, that we are the redeemed, that your grace is sufficient, and Lord, O God, that you have ordained us to experience the fullness of life that comes from you. We come and we receive all that you have for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to give your life to him today and say, God, I recognize that you have need of me. Man may say, I don't need you. Man may say, you don't qualify. Man may say, you are not usable. Man may say, you're junk. But God, you have elected to choose me, and I come to you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If you want to do that right now, and I pray that you do so, because that's the wisest thing you can do. Just say with me, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge your Lordship over my life. I believe that you died on the cross of Calvary so that I can be saved, that you were buried and you rose again from the dead on the third day. You ascended into the heavens and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I receive the truth of that word. I join myself with you. And by so doing, right now, I believe I died with you. I was buried with you. I was raised again from the dead with you. I ascended with you. And I'm seated in heavenly places in you. I am saved. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Now, O God, use me to shine brightly in the world so that others can come to your saving light. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of God and enjoy the goodness of the Lord. May God's peace garrison your heart. Amen and amen. Just a quick announcement before we close today. This Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, we are going to have special meetings. We're going to start at 6:30. And these special meetings are in relationship to Good Friday, in relationship to Passover, and what at the time that we really truly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. Because the reality is, you cannot get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday. And the promise and the commitment was that he was going to be in the earth, buried for 3 days and 3 nights. And the best that we do know is that this must have happened on Wednesday, all the way to early morning Sunday when he was raised from the dead. So we're going to very strategically start our meetings this Wednesday. We're going to talk about what Jesus Christ came to do. And of course, we're going to talk about Passover. And of course, on Friday, we'll finalize that. And then on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we will be celebrating Easter together. That's the resurrection life. We're going to talk about what that means to you in real terms. So mark these times out. Let your friends know to log in Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, Friday evening, and of course Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And shortly from now, we're going to start on our YouTube channel airing some message every single day. And do not forget to subscribe so that we can have a way to communicate with you as often as we can, preaching this gospel of the kingdom. Do not forget to continue to support this work so that our voices and lives to take the gospel far and near to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, be blessed.